Dear Heavenly Father, we praise your name. We thank you so much because you have not left us alone. It feels that way sometimes. It feels like we disconnect sometimes. But you've promised to always be there for us. And as we study your word this morning, we just ask that we will reconnect with you through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been studying the book of John for several weeks now and months. And we're almost at the end. A few more chapters. I'm studying the book of John because what other book did this disciple write? The book of Revelation. And it talks about the time of the end. It talks about the things that will happen in the time of the end. But I believe that John wrote the gospel of John so that we would be ready for that time. And in it, we find many, many stories that apply to us today. And the one we want to read about is found in John chapter 15. Just so that we remember the context of this chapter, Jesus is with his disciples. And they're about to have, they had a meal. He prepared a special meal that was happening during the time of Passover. And this was their 4th of July celebration. And they celebrated it as family. They celebrated with friends. They invited the closest people to this very special feast. But something that I think the disciples didn't know and Jesus knew very well was that the time had come. The time had come where he was going to give his life for all of humanity. And instead of thinking about himself and the trials that he was going to go through, he thought about his disciples. And not only about his disciples, but he thought about you and me. Those who would hear about him without ever physically meeting him. He was worried. And he tells us in this beautiful chapter 15, the following words: I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, and that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And again he repeats in verse 4, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I was asking Pastor Jeff, well, what does this word abide mean? It's not a word we use too much. But he said, I like the translation, remain in me. And I was thinking about it, and I also thought, maybe the word also means stay with me. Have you heard that before? I heard that a lot when I was growing up. Mom would say, stay with me. She would go to the store, to the mall, to the grocery store, and stay with me, okay? I didn't know why she wanted me to stay with her. But later on, I caught on and discovered that she wanted to keep me safe. She wanted to protect me. So she said, stay with me. Did Jesus know that difficult times were about to come to his disciples? Yes. If you turn with me to John chapter 15, and we go to verse 18, it says, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Verse 21, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Jesus was very clear. Difficult times would come. Persecution would come. And he said, stay with me. I will keep you safe. I will protect you. Another reason why I think Jesus used this phrase, remain in me, stay with me, to give us courage. Have you ever gone running or walking? And you've gone running with somebody else, and you've just heard that person running with you say, we're almost there. Oh, I'm so glad. Encourages us, doesn't it? Just a little more. Almost there. You're doing a great job. We're turning green, blue. Want to stop running. But we feel encouraged by having that person next to us. And Jesus said, stay with me. We're almost there. Difficulties and trials will come. But just stay with me. And something he said that encourages me is also found in the same chapter, John chapter 15, verse 26 and 27. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Amen? And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Jesus promises his disciples a comforter, an encourager, somebody who would be with us through the difficult times. Somebody that is also called here the Spirit of Truth. A faithful Spirit. He would always be there for us. So we learn that with this phrase, abide with me, stay with me, Jesus was telling his disciples, I will keep you safe. I will protect you in those difficult times, but also I want to encourage you to keep going, because it's not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult, and I will guide you. I will be faithful. I will be with you always. But I think there's another meaning to this phrase, stay with me. Has anybody been invited to stay with someone at their home? Maybe for a few days. Maybe for a few months. Wow. I was invited to stay at somebody's house for a few months, and actually for several summers. And you know, that relationship with that person grew because of that. I knew them. They knew me. And even though time has gone by and we live thousands of miles away, we still have a very good relationship. And I've talked to you about him. His name is Joachim Cotin. He lives in Switzerland. But when you live with somebody, not just for days, weeks, or months, but actually years, you really get to know that person. In 2 weeks, I'm going to be celebrating 5 years of being married to Carolina. Believe it or not, yes, 2 more weeks, we're going to be married. And it was great. You know, I pretty much, when I asked her to go out with me, some of you know this already, I basically told her, I want to go out with you because I want to marry you. That was my first phrase. And disclaimer here, I did not do that just the first time I saw her. I actually waited a year and, you know, talked to her. But when I did ask her out, I say, I want to ask you out because I want to marry you. and she was shocked. Now, I was shocked when she said, okay, oh. But she said, you don't know me. Are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. Okay. And 7 long months of dating. Wow. After that, I proposed, went to a restaurant in San Diego. There is a lighthouse. And right next to the bay. And I formally proposed. And 7 months later, we were married. Amen. Now, she's gotten to know me pretty good. In fact, she kind of knows what I'll probably do by, you know, on certain things. And this happened because we're staying together. We live in the same place. First place was a 1-bedroom, so you can't hide too much. You have to confront things and talk about it and get things cleared up. And so I think this is what Jesus was trying to say as well. Stay with me. Get to know me. Get to know who I am. And in Jesus' times, there were a lot of groups who were claiming that they were connected to God. And they were saying, if you follow my rules, if you follow my practices, you are truly a son of God. One of these groups were called the Essenes. You guys heard of those? Josephus speaks about them. Pliny, the elder, also writes about them. This was a group that was pretty much secluded. And they believed that they had to share everything. And they believed that, you know, we shouldn't own anything. And they were very strict about keeping the Sabbath. But it's interesting that Jesus didn't join that group when he came. There's another group, also mentioned by Josephus, and they were the Sadducees. Now, they were very well educated. They were, you could say, the cream of the crop. They were the ones in charge of the temple. And they were known as the righteous. That's what Sadducees means. Tzedek from the Hebrew word righteous. They were the righteous. Now their connection with God was more like, well, if it makes sense. They were influenced by Greek philosophy and logic. And some of the things in the Old Testament, I'm not too sure about. So we're just going to hold on to the 5 books of Moses. The rest, debatable. Debatable, the rest of the scriptures. We know about them in the New Testament that they didn't believe in the resurrection, for example. It just didn't make sense. Jesus didn't join that group. There was another group, the Pharisees. Now, they were also highly educated, very influential. In fact, the majority of the people followed their teachings. Also very strict in observing certain rituals and rules. But Jesus didn't join that group either. There was another group, the Zealots. And these, boy, they only believed that they should follow God. And because they only should follow God, the Romans had nothing to do with them. And they were not afraid of rebelling against them. They were not afraid of going against their laws. They said, we only follow the Lord. But Jesus didn't join that group. If you turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 1, there was one group that Jesus himself formed. And if we go to Acts chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this," and what does it say there in your Bible? "This way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." It's the only place where this group appears in the New Testament. I don't think even Josephus talks about them, but they were known as the group of the way. Does that sound familiar? What does John chapter 14, 6 say? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me." The only way to God is through Jesus. There's no other way. There are no other practices that can bring us to God, but it is only through Jesus and staying connected with Him. Staying connected with Him. How? That was the question my wife asked me. How do we stay connected? And we live in a time of high technology, I would say. I mean, you can travel anywhere around the world in a matter of hours and connect with somebody physically, be there. We can just pick up the phone in a matter of seconds. We can connect with somebody half away around the world. Today we can even pull out our phone and what? Take pictures and we can send them. Or we can even do something called face-to-face and see them on our computer or on our phone. But have you noticed that even today it's hard to connect sometimes? We feel kind of like, wow, disconnected. Some might even live in the same household, but they don't what? Communicate. They don't talk to each other. Some might come to big gatherings and feel what? Disconnected. I don't belong here. How do we connect to somebody we can't see? And I think Jesus tells us how here in John chapter 15. If you go with me to John chapter 15, verse 7. "If ye abide in me, and my words abide where? In you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Jesus used in the first verses of John chapter 15, I think, a powerful image. The image of a vine with its branches. And Jesus described himself as being the vine. This was a powerful image for Jews who believed they were the vine that God had planted upon earth and were supposed to be a blessing to the whole world. But Jesus now took this image and said, "I am the true vine. I am the true Israel." And he said, just like the branches are attached to the vine, and because they are attached, they can give fruit, so you must be attached to me. The only way we can be connected to the vine. According to this verse 7, is if Jesus' words abide in us, and also if we will ask. If we will ask. God, today I want to be attached to Jesus. Amen? Today I want to stay with Jesus. Today I want to walk with Jesus. Help me today to stay connected to Him. Are there a lot of distractions out there? They want to disconnect us? There are. But I found something really interesting in this book that I shared a few weeks ago, The True Revival. And I want to share some of these quotes with you. One is found on page 30. And it says like this: the faith that is unto salvation is not casual faith. It is not the mere consent of the intellect. It is belief rooted in the heart that embraces Christ as a personal Savior, assured that He can save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. To believe that He will save others, but will not save you, is not genuine faith. But when the soul lays hold upon Christ as the only hope of salvation, the genuine faith is manifested. This faith leads its possessors to place all the affections of the soul upon Christ. His understanding is under the control of the Holy Spirit, and His character is molded after the divine likeness. His faith is not a dead faith, but a faith that works by love and leads him to behold the beauty of Christ and to become assimilated to the divine character. Amen? Connected. A faith that connects. If we will ask, it shall be done unto you. Another thing I see in this passage that helps us understand what type of a connection Jesus wants to have with each one of us is found in verses 12 and on. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Did Jesus lay down his life for us? No greater love. The God of the universe came to this earth and gave his life for you and for me. No greater love. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not what? Servants. For the servants knoweth not what his Lord doeth. They just go about doing it. They're told, go for it. Do this. And they just go. They don't ask. They do it. Now if a friend tells you, hey, do this, what can you always do? Ask. Why do you want me to do this? You feel comfortable to ask. And Jesus calls us his friends. Verse 15, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. In fact, verse 16 says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever, again, you shall ask of the Father in my name, what? He may give it to you. If it's just that, God, I want to be connected to Jesus. He will give it to us. And verse 17 says, these things I command you, that you love one another. How do we do this? How do we love one another? There's one more paragraph that I would like to read, found on page 36. Where faith is, good works appear. The sick are visited, the poor are cared for, the fatherless and the widows are not neglected, the naked are clothed, the destitute are fed. Christ went about doing good, and when men are united with him, they love the children of God, and meekness and truth guide their footsteps. The expression of the countenance reveals their experience, and men take knowledge of them that they have been with Jesus and learned of him. Christ and the believer become one, and his beauty of character is revealed in those who are vitally connected with the source of power and love. Christ is the great depository of justifying righteousness and sanctifying grace. Amen? And we're connected to Jesus. We want to do the things that he did. We want to share his love with those around us. But the greatest gift I think God has given us so that we will stay connected to him, because we will feel safe, we will feel protected, we will feel encouraged, but also because he wants to reveal himself to us. He wants us to have a relationship with him. He's calling us, friend, stay with me. Come on. Stay with me. Let's talk. Let's share. It is through that gift of the Holy Spirit, which we read about in verse 26 and 27. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. He will reveal to you who I am. And you also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. This little book by Mark Finley, Revive Us Again, he quotes a passage from Steps to Christ that shocked me when I read it. It might shock you too. It goes like this. Henceforth, through the Spirit, Christ was to abide continually in the hearts of his children. Their union with him was closer than when he was personally with them. What? I'll read it again. Henceforth, through the Spirit, Christ was to abide continually in the hearts of his children. Their union with him was closer than when he was personally with them. He wants to be one with us. Amen? Just like the branch without the vine. Can't bear fruit. Impossible. In fact, if you've seen vineyards, you notice that their branches are pretty skinny, huh? And long. And if there's not a vine dresser, what happens to these branches? They just drop to the floor. And I think it's going to be pretty hard for them to produce fruit on the floor. So the vine dresser comes and picks them up, puts them on these poles, gives them support so that they can give much fruit. God's Holy Spirit. Through God's Holy Spirit, we can be one with Jesus Christ. Amen? And this is something we have to choose every day. And we can pray about it. And we can ask God. And the promise is that he will do it. Amen? If we ask God, I want to be connected to Jesus, he will do that for us. It's a promise. And God always keeps. keeps his promises. Amen.